Lages is the Director of Fellowship Aid and International Relief, which we and everybody in the denomination calls FAIR. We as a church family often jump into one of the many projects that FAIR takes on. It's a blessing to know that we are touching lives in countries far from us. We know that blessed feeling of helping others in the name of Christ. Just a few years ago, the previous director of FAIR, Dan Schur, spoke to us on a Sunday morning from this pulpit, and now it's our privilege to meet Norton. Norton is here in the greater Edmonton area because this past Thursday and Friday we had our regional annual meeting. It was on Thursday and Friday, and it was represented by our church, or for our church, by Leo and Darren. And it is our joy to have you with us today, Brother Norton. Come and share what the Lord has laid on your heart, and we will, by God's grace, open our hearts to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be with you. One day, I was leaving Brazil to come as a missionary to serve and church plant in Quebec, and I had no idea I would be in Fort Saskatchewan, Alberta. I really had no idea, but the Lord knew what He was doing, huh? And I'm very glad that He has brought me to serve with you. It's really a joy. I would like to bring greetings and first introduce a little bit of FAIR. FAIR stands for Fellowship Aid and International Relief. Sometimes this is not as clear as it needs to be for you members of our churches, right? What it is, do we have the first slide? I wanted for you to read that with me. Can we read? Gospel hope for those in need. It means that when there is an earthquake in Taiwan or in Myanmar, while you are sleeping, I need you to pray for me before you go to bed, because my team is literally awake, trying to find ways to find churches there to make sure that whatever there are people suffering, that the gospel is coming, that they are not hopeless, but even in the middle of the most difficult despair, that they have hope. That's part of our mission, is to proclaim the hope of the gospel wherever they are. We can do that, next slide, because we are a family of churches that you've probably heard about. We're called the Fellowship. And maybe there's somebody here that doesn't know. That's why I always bring this slide, because we exist as a movement of churches to make passionate disciples of Jesus Christ. Just like you and everywhere in Canada, we are 530 churches. Next slide. Look at that. The reason I came to Canada, it's because I don't know how much you've heard about the need of the gospel in Quebec. And God called my wife and I to plant a church there in Montreal. And imagine that, two Brazilians that did not speak French. But the Lord, He works through us because He first works in us, right? And miracles happen. And we planted a church downtown Montreal. And it's today a beautiful church. We left it a year ago, but they already have a new pastor called Jonathan Labelle, a real Quebecois, not an adopted Quebecois like me, but a real Quebecois. And it's a beautiful church. We have planted two other churches. Isn't it amazing what God can do? And we are very glad. Let me introduce myself to you. Next slide. My name is Norton Lages. I'm the new director of FAIR, unhappily, my wife, Tatiana. Can you see the most beautiful woman in the world right there? Her name is Tatiana. We've been married for 25 years, and I love this girl. She is amazing, and she has just started a sabbatical for discerning if she should change her career or adapt her career to the needs of traveling that this work demands. She works in the Ministry of Immigration for our federal government of Canada in the crisis unit, which means when there is crisis in Afghanistan, in Gaza, in Ukraine. She's the one taking care of these people. Isn't it amazing that God brought me to work with FAIR, and she was already working in the government in a similar way, right? But the government is the one that pays her, huh? In fact, it's us, right? but it's beautiful to see. And if you have Facebook or Instagram, it's your time to take your phone and follow me there. Because what I want is for you to see what God is doing. Wherever I go, I was in Ukraine, I was visiting our orphanage in Honduras, I was visiting our multiple projects in Medellin, Colombia. I would like just for you to follow me, and social media gives you that possibility of seeing the work of the gospel there. When I am there, I am filming little videos for you to see what God is doing there. FAIR, next one. FAIR is this 70 plus projects, right, that work with 19 plus missionaries, and we have impacted more than 60 countries. And it's just beautiful that FAIR is you, it's us, bringing gospel hope for those in need in these countries with our missionaries. And I'm always curious if there is no person right here today that is feeling that calling to go and be a missionary in the world, and that I am here to talk to you, to mature that calling with you, to maybe give you a missionary opportunity. I was speaking, Pastor Jim, at Faith Baptist Church in Huntsville. Who knows Huntsville? It's beautiful lakeland in Ontario, right? And I was speaking there in their missions conference. And there was a young man called Kalen Fleming that was there. And God just set his heart on fire. And he called me and said, Norton, send me anywhere where there is a need. And I'm like, you shouldn't say that to Norton. Because there's lots of need. But a few months later, he was in the flooded areas of the south of Brazil, where people had lost their houses, devastation, and Kalen was there taking care of the kids. He had 2 weeks of kids' programs for these kids, and the kids and their parents coming to Christ. Isn't it beautiful? In the moment of despair, the light of the gospel came to shine. So is there somebody here that would like to have this kind of experience? I am here for you. In the next slide, you see a Bible verse that talks about the reason, one of the reasons we do this work. So let's read it together. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God knew there would be suffering in the world. And one of the reasons that the church is here, it's because the church can do good. And as we're doing good, we have one aim, is to glorify, for them to see the good deeds, the good works of ours, and they can glorify our Father, because they know it's not from us. If we do any good, it's because God has saved us perfectly, right? Let me show you how FAIR works. And I want to talk about you. FAIR works from the local church, to the local church, through the local church, and with the local church. And it's a lot of local church, yes. And it's not because of my choice. It's because the head of the church, Jesus, chose to have a body. And that's how he works. So I'm talking about the churches in Medellin. As a fruit of our missionary work, there are 17 beautiful local churches in Medellin. Isn't it amazing? There are 5 church plants, so more churches are being planted. And FAIR works through these local churches, with these local churches. Fair works with Emmanuel Baptist Church in Montreal. They were developing a project in a very poor city in Haiti that is now in complete distress, that country. But we have a project in Don Don. It's a little city in Haiti where there's a Baptist church that is feeding the people in all of that city, little village where people are so needy with the Emmanuel Church in Montreal. So all we do is with local churches here, just like you, and local churches there. And that's how we want it to be, because God is the one that chose. You can go to the next slide for us to do that with and through and from the local church. The child sponsorship opportunity is something that I would really like to talk to you about today. It's a small way to participate. It's $35 a month. It's a lunch that you skip with your family, and that you can be in touch with a kid, a child that is in need. In Lebanon, we have two units. Two of our missionaries are working there in Lebanon. In Sri Lanka, we're just launching a new campaign for Sri Lanka. We have four places where kids in the rural areas of Sri Lanka, very poor, and they have not heard the gospel, are being cared for and preached the gospel to. It's beautiful. In Honduras, we have an orphanage, and I was with Esmeralda. She got there when she was 8 months old. No father, no mom. She had lost them. And by the age of 18 right now, do you know who she calls mama? Our missionary Melody Francis is the person she calls mama. Isn't it beautiful that in the kingdom of God, the fatherless and the motherless find a father and find a mom? This is the kingdom of God we live in. Isn't it beautiful? You have an opportunity then to connect with these kids. And I was in Honduras in the prayer time with the kids before they go to bed. And they are praying for the Canadian people that are sponsoring them, that are supporting them for them to grow. So if you want to be a part of that, you are going to be prayed for. You know, there will be a little kid in Honduras, in Lebanon, in Dominican Republic, in Sri Lanka that will be praying for you, and we make that effort with them. I brought an annual report. Pastor Jim knows I brought one for each one of you. It is at the table right there. Brother, can you stand and just pick one for them to see? Look at that. That beautiful annual report, look at that, is there for you. Thank you so much, my friend. He's a good marketing man. Look. Please, I brought one for each one of you so you can take home, put beside your bed so that you can be praying for our projects. Our latest campaign is called Momentum Colombia. It's a fruit of our work of 30 plus years in Colombia. And I would like to show you a video. It's a beautiful video that shows us. Videos are better because they are not like monologue with me, right? You can see the images and you will see projects that are happening with our churches there and how God is using those to change a city. Okay, let's watch this video now.
Not that long ago, Medellin, Colombia was a very dark and dangerous place. One of the most powerful drug cartels in the world ruled the city through brutal force, controlling the general population and political landscape through violence. Decades of living under threat and reality of physical harm has left a large part of the population in physical, emotional, and spiritual poverty. Although the gang influence has lessened, government corruption is ongoing, and families and society continue to be harmed through worldly agendas. Hopelessness about the present and the future is the norm. How does a city like that change? How does it transform from darkness to light? The answer is simple: through the God-led actions of the faithful. Today, a group
course, it's a land that still bears. Enjoy. And through the faithful work of the local church, they are learning to hope in Jesus. These ministries are coming.
Help reveal churches in Medellin.
Thank you.
Not that long ago, Medellin, Colombia was a very dark and dangerous.
Beautiful, isn't it, what God is doing there?
Yes. And I would love for you to participate with a special offering. But what I would love the most is to go there with you. It's for you to be able to go and see these projects with your own eyes. Just to be able to engage and connect and be able to bring news to the church of what we are doing. This is a fruit of your work. It's the missionary work of fellowship churches like you all over Canada. And you can help by learning more about it, by praying, by giving. And I have a special brochure on the Colombian Appeal that is back there for you so that you can get to know more. And then I also have another brochure, the next slide, for the Colombian, for the Ukraine appeal we launched the last year, that it's still working. We're going to complete that soon. But we are doing beautiful work through 72 local churches in Ukraine. And I want to talk to you more about that. One of the opportunities that we had there was for us to give a house, as you can see right here. There were families that lost their homes, right, in all of the shelling and bombing that is being happening in Ukraine. And we wanted to give a house for them. That house costs $30,000 for us to give a new house to a family. It's a modular house. But we would like to do that, knowing that the local church would have work there to do with them. And if you go to the next slide, you are going to see a Bible study being conducted in one of the houses that we gave. This is right here. This is Pastor Sergi that is conducting the Bible study in one of the houses. I'm sorry, it says there Emmanuel Fellowship Baptist Church. This was in Vernon last week, and my team missed writing the name of yours here. But I wanted to thank you for that. This is just an example of how we're doing work to help the poorest and the neediest. But we're doing that with the gospel. And that's why I wanted to come here and share this with you. But it's time for the Word of God, if you can come with me, we're going to be talking about overflowing mission. The idea of this sermon that is on 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5, is that we can only give what we have received. As you can see, you have a photo of Pastor Volodymyr there. He oversees 60 churches in the region of Chernihiv, in the north of Ukraine. And the city of Chernihiv was sieged for 40 days. That region experienced a lot of the drama and the horrible situations of the war. And this is a gentleman that is 71 years old. I met him with his four children and eight grandchildren, a blessed man. And I said, why didn't you leave? And he said, because the people of my city needed me, the moment they needed me the most, I need to be here to be a gospel presence. And that inspired me. That is a man of faith. That is a man that is ready to be brave in Jesus Christ so that the gospel may have a presence even in the moments that is very difficult, that your life is at risk. And I saw a faith there that then I saw the 60 pastors that he is overseeing, and that is hundreds of people. And I saw the faith in these people in the midst of the war. And I will tell you the story about this lady at the end. Isn't it beautiful that when we receive the gospel deeply, that it overflows from us in the mission of God? Look at this Bible text right there. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Let's have a word of prayer before we start studying the word. Father, we thank you for your precious word, and we ask you to use this word to change us today, to move our hearts to obedience, to build faith in us, Father, so that we can continue to preach the gospel faithfully here in Fort Saskatchewan. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you go to the next slide, you will see that everything, when we're talking about missions, and this, the name of the sermon today is Overflowing Mission. When we're talking about mission, everything happens because of worship. And this is very important for us. I call this essential worship. It's not necessarily singing, because everybody sings, right? People sing songs that are not worship songs, right? Everybody sings, but these songs we sing, and thank you, dear brother, that was conducting us in worship here. We get excited, right, when brothers is singing here, because we see that he's singing out of this experience of faith in the Lord. Look at this text. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He's calling us to praise God because of who he is. Who is he in the text? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. We worship him out of our experience with this essence of God. He is the God of all comfort. And when we receive this comfort, what happens to us? Worship. I call that essential worship. It's not an empty singing. It's in French, we call that émerveillé. Does anybody speak French here? Let me see a show of hands. Oh, one brother there. Thank you, brother. Oh, it's not any. But the word émerveillé, when you are émerveillé, means to be in awe. You are in a certain sense surprised. You are once again surprised by how beautiful, how strong, how powerful God is. And then out of this presence with the God of all comfort, what happens? Worship. It's essential worship. And you see the picture here of Pastor Petro. Pastor Petro is one of the pastors in this region of Chernihiv, where I visited, the city that was bombed. And his church was shelled. A missile hit the church building while 250 people were down there because people started leaving their homes afraid. And everybody came to church because they know there would be food and shelter and love and prayers and faith. Because this faithful man of God, he was just worshiping the Lord in the midst of the war. We've heard about Paul doing that. He is in chains, but he's worshiping. Because it's not the situation, it's the God we serve, right? Yes. Friends, when we meet the God of all comfort, worship happens. Let's go to the next slide. If you see right there, this is the picture of Valerie and Irina. They are the people we are together supporting to do retreats with families of wounded soldiers or families that have lost their father in the war. And they can do that because of one thing. Let's read the Bible text. It says, "Who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." You don't know, but Valera, he was drafted to go into the front lines of the war by mistake. Because you have three kids, you don't go to the front lines. But he has three kids and he was by mistake drafted. And for 6 months, he was in the front lines. And I don't know if you've met anybody with PTSD, but he was really trembling and shaking. But he is a brave man of God. And he said to me, "I thank God for the mistake." 6 months later, they identified the mistake and brought him back home. And he said to me, "I thank God he brought me to the front lines." Because over there, he was deeply comforted as bullets are flying and he sees many companions dying. He said, "I learned what it is to believe God. And I had the experience of the suffering of the soldiers so that now I can come back home." And the government of Ukraine brought him back home. And now he is a chaplain that we support. And he's caring for families of wounded soldiers and families that have lost their father. Isn't it true that when we experience deeply the comfort that God gives, when you receive that, then you can share that with others. Friends, our mission in life is not something that comes from ourselves. We don't need to be missionaries because there's an order for us to be missionaries. We are missionaries because the Lord God of all comfort has comforted us. And see how he has done with us, we want to share that with others. Isn't it right? It's not by obligation. It's because something has happened in us. It's a God-given, God-entrusted mission that many times will come out of our suffering. I know that the Canadian culture opens more of the private life, but I have the freedom of coming from Brazil. So I can share with you a little bit of my private life. My wife and I carry a sadness that we cannot have kids. And if you have experienced that here, maybe this morning there's somebody that experiences that. Or you may have a family member or a friend that has gone through that. We've been for the last 15 years doing every treatment you can think of. Trying to adopt. We had an adoption process in China right when the pandemic hits. And for 5 years, we were expecting to see if that was going to work or not. And we had to call it off. It's a sadness we carry. It's not easy. You can pray for us. We're still discerning if we're going to start another adoption process because we're tired. But you know what God did? There was a moment that as we're planting a church in downtown Montreal, there was a moment that half of our church, 50% of our church, were of couples that could not have kids. And I remember my executive assistant, she was one of them. She was telling me, we thank God for your suffering. Isn't it interesting that God gets our suffering and our pain, and he visits us with his comfort. And it's out of the comfort that we have received from God that our mission happens. And we can tell people, it's okay. Even when God says no, even when we are sad, the Father we have, he can comfort us in our suffering. Let me read the text to you again. It says, who comforts us in how many of our troubles? All our troubles. That we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. Hallelujah for the God we serve. He has given us missions. I don't know what's your suffering. I told you mine. I don't know what your suffering is. It's a child that's not serving the Lord. It's a husband that sometimes is not behaving as he should. It's a wife that's having difficulty with her health. I don't know what your trouble is. And there are many troubles in the world. There's only one thing I know, is that there is a God that comforts us in how many of our troubles? All our troubles. That I know. I don't know what your trouble is this morning. But I've been there with Valera and his wife Irina, and they are now funded, supported by us, comforting families as the war is raging. They keep caring for families, and these people are coming to Christ, and it is beautiful to see renewed hope in the midst of hopelessness. Isn't it amazing, my friends? Praise God for that. Next slide, and we're going to conclude. Because this family of Pastor Misha, it's one of the pastors we support there. And he takes this beautiful family you can see right there. He doesn't go alone. He goes with his wife. I met her. Her name is Ina. And the kids. And I had a day with them praying and learning and discerning how we can help. This is in the city of Rivne. And they go from the east of Ukraine, from the west of Ukraine where there's no war. And they go every month on an expedition. This family right there that you can see, they take a car, a bunch of cars, one after the other. And they go into the front lines on the east of Ukraine. Because they say salvation is needed there. They don't mind going where suffering is. They are here in the west of Ukraine where it's safe and everything is more stable. And they go into the mess. They go into the suffering. They themselves, by their own will, they go there where it's very dangerous. And they go there because there is a need for salvation. I just want to ask you, does it make you think of somebody else? There is a somebody else that one day did not run from the suffering that our sins needed, from the death our sins demanded blood. And our Savior, he was not shy of courage, even though it was hard. He said, Father, if you can. But he embraced suffering. For you and for me, this is the gospel we believe in. Is that the love the Lord had for us, for you, that love was so immense that it could not retain him from offering his only son as sacrifice. And Jesus went into suffering and death for you and for me because he wanted to save us. He wanted to have us with him eternally. My friends, when I see the family of Pastor Misha and Madame Ina there, I see that they are living out nothing but what they learned from their Savior. Because what the text says is, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. They are not afraid of going into the front lines. And I talked to his 21-year-old daughter right there. She has the same name of her mother. Her name is Ina. And this Ina, what a brave young woman. She's not running from suffering. She will go whatever suffering is, because there is a message of salvation that needs to get there. Friends, this is the gospel we believe in. It's a gospel that makes us brave for the mission of God, for the comfort of God to get whatever it's needed. That's why I work with FAIR. You can go to the next slide, please, sister. That's why I work with FAIR, to bring gospel hope for those in need. It's because we worship a God that is so powerful, so amazing. He can comfort anybody in any trouble. He changes lives. And that becomes our mission, right? To share that with others. That is the essence of the gospel, of the good news we bring. Is that if you are hopeless today, there is hope. If you are comfortless, if you're suffering, there is comfort. If you are in need of salvation, and that's what happened to me, such a lost young man I was in need of salvation, and somebody led me to Jesus, and I found a direction and salvation for life there. But it's important, there's something important here. It's an overflowing mission. It's not to be a missionary by obligation. To be a missionary for God by obligation. It's because of what He has done in me and you that we are called, that we get to be missionaries, right? That we get the opportunity to share the healing we have received, right? It's because of that that we are here today, my dear friends. I am very glad to come and bring the gospel to you. The gospel is what we need. It's to remember that Jesus has come to save us. Oh, I almost forgot. This lady was a part of a Bible study. During the war, Pastor Volodymyr is leading Bible studies everywhere. And because people need the hope that the gospel can bring. And at the end of the Bible study, 16 people are going there. As we are gathering for this graduation of the Bible study, the air raids on our phones happen. That means there is a missile on the air that can come to us. It's in our reach. Everybody is peaceful. There is a trust in God that I want to have in my life. It's beautiful. And then as all of this is happening, Pastor Volodymyr asks, is there anybody here who would like to give their lives to Christ? And this woman bravely stands right here, right on the side of the pulpit. She stands and says, me. And you know, In Ukrainian culture, they are a little less soft than us Canadians, you know. So the pastor starts a little bit grilling her. The pastor's like, are you sure? Tell us about why you want to do that. Okay? This is public, right here. And she says, I have never seen a faith. I have never seen a hope. I have never seen comfort as I found here in Jesus Christ. That's why I want to say He is my Savior. Here I am in the middle of Ukraine crying and seeing a woman declare of her faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. You can go to the next slide. FAIR, the other one, yeah. FAIR exists, my friends, to bring gospel hope to that lady. You know, to those in need in the midst of the war, orphans and people sufferings in earthquake. I am your missionary. I didn't know if you knew that you are the one that pay my salary. I work for you. You know, I go into these places for you.
so that we can bring the hope of the gospel that has reached us. Why don't we say a word of prayer? Father, we worship you today, for you are a good, good Father. For we stand here, and as the Psalm 23 says, you are our shepherd, and yes, we lack nothing. We have everything in you. And that's beautiful, Father, that when we were broken, you made us whole. When we were empty, you filled us. Father, when we were hopeless, we found in you the blessing of hope. And for that, Father, once again, we say thank you for your glorious word. Oh, Father, use your word continuously to edify us as you've done today. And we worship you for that. And I want to bless, Father, the congregation of Fort Saskatchewan. Father, asking you to fill their hearts with the comfort they need today. And I say that in the name of Jesus. You are the God of all comfort. You know the distresses of each person here. And I pray, Father, that you would comfort them deeply because of who you are, the God of all comfort. For we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thank you.